Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
I don't know about the rest of the world, but it is never boring in the United States of America as the world's number one golfer at the second major golf tournament of the year, Scottie Scheffler, in Louisville, Kentucky, is arrested, put in an orange jumpsuit, and booked by Louisville police for second-degree assault of a police officer and reckless driving as he attempted to enter the grounds of the golf course on Friday morning for round two. This is the number one player in the world. He won the Masters. He won the week after. He took a few weeks off, had their first child. He is a devout Christian. He is considered to be the maybe most boring athlete in America. Uninteresting, really, to watch play golf. He's so good and so boring in the way he plays. His interviews aren't particularly interesting. He doesn't have an outgoing personality to speak of. This is one of the most shocking stories ever. And we're going to add context to this here at KKHI that you're not going to get anywhere else. Our presenting sponsor today is our friends at Aspen Wealth Management. Trevor and Tavis Holsinger would love to sit down with you and really do a financial makeover for you if you'd like them to. Take a look at everything you're doing, what you're spending, if you have debt, if you're paying things, how you're doing your finances, how you're investing for long term, or if you have something like a rollover 401k or an IRA that you've been, you know, not really dealing with, it's just been sitting there and still being managed by the company that you worked for or something like that. They can give you great advice on what to do with that. Aspen Wealth Management is Aspen the place for you. Online at aspenwealth.com or call Trevor or Tavis at 913-491-0500, our presenting sponsor today. Scottie Scheffler is in jail at the time of this recording at 7:28 a.m. on Friday morning. Scottie Scheffler, the world's number one golfer, in an orange jumpsuit, had his mugshot taken as he was officially booked into custody in Louisville. Here's what happened. Prior to Scottie Scheffler getting there and this happening, a shuttle bus, presumably filled with fans or volunteers, these shuttle buses, the parking for a golf tournament is always a long ways away. There's not nearly enough parking at golf courses or golf tournaments for events. Prior to that, in the dark, in the rain, the pouring rain, this tournament is delayed this morning because of weather in Louisville. A shuttle bus apparently hit a pedestrian, and there's a fatality. Some 50 police cars responded to the scene where the traffic flow was coming to try to keep this thing open to get the golfers in, get, I guess, some fans rerouted and out. So when the rain stopped, the golf tournament apparently would start. Now, the question is, when you've had a fatality before the golf tournament starts today, do you change the tournament? Is there something that needs to be done now with this golf tournament that says, hey, wait a second, hit the pause button. We've got the world number one got arrested in what could be, although they've booked him, could be a misunderstanding with Scottie Scheffler, completely unrelated to the fatality, the driving incident with the shuttle van. But there was chaos, it was pouring rain, and it was dark, and there are 50 police cars in this area as Scottie Scheffler apparently is approaching in his own car, which are basically loaners. They're rental cars. And I don't know this to be the case, but typically the player will drive his car in. The caddy will bring their car in. A lot of players arrive alone to the golf course. And it is not unusual for the most prominent golfers in this sport to get to the entry gate and not have the parking pass in the windshield or some identification or whatever. They show up, generally speaking, in golf shorts and a t-shirt and tennis shoes. The caddy has the clubs, and the pro arrives and goes in and puts his golf clothes on in the locker room or whatever. Some arrive dressed and ready to go. Scottie Scheffler on this morning, it looked like he had shorts and a t-shirt on and tennis shoes when he was arrested. So Scheffler's trying to get in. He's trying to turn left to go into Valhalla. And according to Jeff Darlington of ESPN, a police officer with a flashlight bangs on his car and is trying to stop him and has his hands on his car. And for some distance, somewhere between 20 feet and 20 yards, according to Darlington, the car kept going as the cop had the hand on the car and was trying to stop him. Darlington reported that he also believes the police officers had no idea this was a golfer. They had no idea it was Scottie Scheffler. They don't know the man. They wouldn't recognize him. Remember, the volunteers who allow people in are all golf fans. They would know Scottie Scheffler. Louisville police officers would not know Scottie Scheffler unless they are golf fans. So Initial reports indicate they had no idea who he was, which is a good thing, okay? The Louisville police should be doing their jobs. This simply could have been a situation where the police officers were trying to stop somebody from entering the golf club amidst chaos, a fatality in the driving rain where no identification was shown and the person kept driving and an officer was involved because his hand was on the car or he's reached in the window and was trying to grab the guy or stop the guy or do whatever. Hell, they may have thought it was a terrorist. What's really interesting is on his mugshot, it says white, European, okay? But then it says something like North African or something that indicated Arabic or Muslim. So when they list your race, they don't just put white. They put anything that you possibly could be because they don't know at this point. They don't even know that the name you've given or whatever is correct. They've not completed the identification. Scottie Scheffler has a big beard. It's very dark. He has dark hair. And I could see where they'd say, okay, North African or possibly Muslim or whatever. I don't know. And I'm not saying cop's profile, but it is on there. And it's very interesting to see that. While we know him as the white guy next door, these dudes and their beards and everything else, the police, when they write it down, the initial description on the account, there it is. It could be any of these nationalities or places that their ancestry is from. It's a guess at that point for police officers in case the person escapes or whatever. You want a description. You have the photograph and all these other things. So it's a very interesting situation. I think my gut tells me that the second degree assault will be dropped. What we're going to get here is a reckless driving charge for Scottie Scheffler because it sounds like he was trying to enter a gate. Athletes are spoiled. They are accustomed to everyone knowing who they are and just waving and letting them go. And I think Scottie Scheffler, again, I've been to many of these things. I have ridden with professionals entering these buildings and doing things like this. They expect to be treated differently than the fans, the shuttle drivers, the volunteers, and anybody that works at the tournament. It is their show. They're the stars of the show, and it's their workplace. My gut tells me Scottie Scheffler was just like waving and saying, I'm Scottie Scheffler, I'm going on in. And that got him in trouble. This is a remarkable story. And it does involve a traffic fatality that had nothing to do with Scottie Scheffler. It was initially reported as a misunderstanding, but now the Louisville police have said second degree assault on a police officer. That would mean maybe at one point the officer, if Scheffler were pulling away and his hands were on the car, or he was reaching in to try to grab or stop Scheffler. Maybe the officer, you know, hurt his wrist or fell to the ground or something like that. There's no report that the officer fell. He didn't come out swinging. There was nothing like that. Scottie Scheffler did not get out of his car and argue with the police officer. Stopped. When he stopped a few feet later, when he stopped, he completely cooperated. He got right out. They slammed him against the car. They cuffed him immediately and they put him in the cop car and took him to the police station. Just a remarkable thing at the second major of the year in golf. This is a crazy story. It's a crazy story. Scottie Scheffler is right there. He shot 4 under par yesterday. Remarkably, after taking basically a month off, Scottie Scheffler on the first hole hits his drive in the fairway and hits his second shot 172 yards. That's almost 2 football fields, folks, into the hole for an eagle. An eagle two. 2 under. So 2 shots in, he was 2 under par at the tournament. He finished -4 yesterday. Xander Schauffele had a remarkable round, -9, but Scheffler just 5 back is right in it. His scheduled tee time was shortly after 10 o'clock Eastern time, and it's unknown whether he'll make that. The entire tournament today is going to be delayed at least 90 minutes because of rain, and we'll see what they decide to do. Could they move Scottie Scheffler's tee time? Is there something they could do to accommodate him? Would they want to do that? Is that unfair to the other contestants? I don't know. There's never been anything quite like this. It was absolute chaos around this golf course this morning as people were arriving. Fans, golfers, volunteers, and folks, there are thousands of volunteers at a golf course. They all arrive in these shuttle buses. There are fans walking on the sidewalks everywhere. We know how fans are. They're excited. They run. They like to cross streets. They're trying to get a seat. They're trying to get where they're going. It's pouring rain and it's dark. It was absolute chaos prior to the PGA Championship on Friday morning in one of the wildest stories you'll ever hear. Scottie Scheffler is one of the good people. I can tell you that. We know he is. Good people make bad decisions. Good people, and this was a left turn. He was on a busy street where there were a lot of cop cars. As he was turning into Valhalla, apparently he was not supposed to turn in. So there's the reckless driving charge. Now, many of us may have done the same thing and turned left and pulled in, knowing this is the gate. This is where I go in. This is where I belong. Let me get out of the way and get in here. But then if a cop was on his car or banging on his car and he continued to drive, that's where he's getting into some trouble here. I don't know about second-degree assault. Unless he got out of the car and did something or swatted at the cop. Maybe there's a, you know, if he's sitting in his seat and the cop's reaching in or something, trying to stop him, you know, I can't imagine the window was down. You would think if it's pouring rain, the windows were up and it would have been hard to hear the cop. I don't know. This seems, when I hear second-degree assault on a police officer and reckless driving, it doesn't seem like that's even possible. It doesn't. And I'm not going to defend Scottie Scheffler. Look, athletes that, you know, think they're privileged and go to pull in and ignore police officers should be subjected to the absolute same driving laws and laws with the police officers as anyone else. There is no exception here for I'm the number one golfer in the world. I get that. I get that. But there was chaos with a lot of the police officers as well, who were in very difficult conditions out in the rain, trying to divert traffic, move it around while working on a fatality nearby. This was a wild scene. And they honestly, according to all the reports out there, they had no idea who Scottie Scheffler was. They're just like, this guy can't pull in here. We got to stop him. They did. And they arrested him. Reckless driving and second degree. This is just a shocking story. Absolutely stunning. All right, we're brought to you today by TicketsForLess.com. The Royals are back home this weekend against the Oakland A's. It is 2014 World Series runner-up celebration weekend. And that means they're all here. Ned Yost was doing media yesterday. Eric Hosmer, Mike Moustakas, James Shields. A lot of superstars from the Royals past here for this weekend. They're giving away bobbleheads all weekend long. TicketsForLess.com is your chance to get the best seats at Kauffman Stadium. No fees ever. Just call 685-3322. That's 913-685-3322. Online at TicketsForLess.com. Do not forget, whether calling or online, use the promo code KKHI. Whatever low price you're going to see, you're going to save at least 5% more by using the promo code on anything you buy at TicketsForLess.com. We love our retailers. We like to mention them before the weekend. Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch in Overland Park. The jeweler you'll recommend to your friends and family. Say hi to Dave or Cameron in there. Or Jaws is in almost every Saturday. Jaws is in there, Gary Joslin. Say hello to our friends there at 95th and Antioch at Joslyn's Jewelry. Or R. Ash Amini and his family that own and operate Amini's since the 1970s in Kansas City. 105th and Metcalf. 30 to 70% off retail right now. Outdoor furniture tent sale. You've got a private invitation by listening to KKHI. And they're doing the floor model closeout on everything indoors. And that does include some furniture. Leather theater seating, patio furniture, things like that. If it's on the showroom floor and it's got to go, it's discounted wildly in there. Pinball machines, pool tables, shuffleboard, all those things that you think about not in the spring or summertime. You think about those a lot more in the winter. Discounted now because they got to get them off the floor. Go into Amini's and ask. Make an offer. Take it right off the showroom floor at Amini's, 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park. There are real comparisons between Scottie Scheffler and Harrison Butker. They live their faith on their sleeve. They speak about it outwardly. They are devout family men and talk about their lifestyle a lot. Now, we all know that the world is not filled with people like this, but the world has people who preach this lifestyle and don't live it. We know that. We know that's happened since the beginning of time. I don't think that's the case with Scottie Scheffler or Harrison Butker. Let me just say that. And I've been around Harrison Butker, and it'd be hard to know a better person than Harrison Butker. But watching these two guys now become the two biggest sports stories in America this week, and Harrison Butker has been that. Over 175,000 people have signed an online petition for the Chiefs to fire Harrison Butker because of a graduation speech, which was basically a church sermon at a private Catholic school. This was essentially church. Where Harrison Butker was speaking was essentially church. It was no different than not just a pastor or a priest getting up and giving a homily or a sermon or something wherever they worship. Many times, parishioners, in the case of, you know, Catholic churches, or members of any church are asked to speak or witness or whatever it may be at places of faith. And that's what this was. This was a man inside a Catholic institution giving basically a Catholic homily for the graduating class at Benedictine College in Atchison. That's basically what this was. And of course, it was videoed and it was placed online, and the rest of the country has melted down. Is nothing sacred in this country anymore? When you cannot go to a place of worship and espouse your faith and your commitment to your religion, what is wrong with us? We allow Hamas terrorist supporters, Muslims, on campus to overtake our universities and don't do anything to them, but will not allow a practicing Catholic who is honored to go speak at a Catholic graduation inside a private institution to discuss his faith without trying to be canceled. This is the most outrageous story in America this year, and this is why Donald Trump is going to win. The similarities here are eerie. What American voters are seeing is the best of us are being targeted. Those that love America the most, those that love the traditional Christian nuclear family values of the United States of America that has led her to be the greatest country on earth, are the people that are now the most targeted for the most ridiculous things. Now, Trump's an outrageous, bombastic personality. I'm not putting him in personally and morally in Harrison Butker's category. I'm not doing that. But the attacks are the same. They're unwarranted. And they come from the same people on the left who want the Constitution shredded and rewritten to make America a socialist country under rule of one party. That's what they want. And whether it's religion or a Stormy Daniels case or whatever it is, they're going after and persecuting people completely unwarranted. And this attack on Harrison Butker is one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen. I've gone from, hey, this is a fun story, he's a strong guy, we're winning, to these people are sick. I emailed Sam McDowell of the Kansas City Star yesterday. He's had plenty of time to respond at this point, and he has not. I offered him the opportunity to come on this podcast. I don't know if I'll hear from Sam or not. He has my phone number. He has my email address. He wrote a column where he basically inferred that Harrison Butker crapped his pants and now has to sit in it. Like he made that was the metaphor he was using. This guy crapped the bed and now he has to sit in it. This was a church sermon, for God's sake. Has Sam McDowell never been to church? The city of Kansas City, Missouri, put an unfortunate tweet out there that Harrison Butker lives in Lee's Summit. Mayor Q has had to apologize for that. The Attorney General of the state of Missouri, Andrew Bailey, has sent a letter to Kansas City, Missouri, wanting accountability for the person that did this and will apply laws in the state of Missouri to come after the city of Kansas City, Missouri, for attacking Harrison Butker and his rights as a Missouri citizen and an American to worship in peace. He has absolutely the right to worship and speak about his faith at any place, public or private. And this was not a public space, folks. This was a private gathering. Graduation ceremonies require a ticket. This is a private school. You're on private land and private property. This is a church service, for God's sake. And then Patrick Mahomes makes some weird remark that he doesn't talk to Harrison Butker. And I know fans aren't going to turn on Patrick Mahomes, but it was one of the most bizarre statements he's made. I don't really talk to him in season. You know, we leave him alone. I've heard players say they leave kickers alone, but I think what Mahomes was saying was, I want to distance myself from this. I want to no comment on this. Well, thank God for Chris Jones. Because Chris Jones stepped up in a big way and said, I love you, butt kicker 7 on X. You're my brother. And then somebody posted back at Chris Jones, you want to delete this post? And Chris Jones is like, never. He's my guy. Thank you, Chris Jones. I'm going to guess Harrison Butker has heard from at least 20 teammates on this, and they all support him. There is a lot of faith in that locker room. Many of these people of faith are the black athletes. They grew up in the South. They go to church every Sunday. It is a big part of their upbringing, the culture, the way they live, and the things that they believe in. And it is strong and it is powerful. There are also, obviously, others. There are white players. There are other players that are of faith. But It's not like the Royals. Like, the Royals clubhouse is just filled with men of faith and has been for a long time. Dayton Moore set out to create that culture with the Royals a long time ago. The Royals are filled with it. I won't say it's half in the NFL. We know there's some bad dudes in the National Football League. We know that. But there are plenty of people of faith in there. Plenty. Plenty. Patrick Mahomes wears a cross around his neck. How devout he is, I don't know. I can't speak to that. It's his business, not mine. My faith is my business, not yours. I believe in that. But I staunchly believe in the right to worship, especially in this situation for Harrison Butker. For Sam McDowell to write this piece basically saying he crapped his pants and now has to sit in it. Hello, Sam McDowell. And I emailed him. Remarkably, he writes in the piece that he has talked to Harrison Butker about his faith before and things he believes in, which this has nothing to do with faith. This is about politics. Okay, Joe Biden was referenced in this speech. There were other political things referenced in the speech, and the left is coming unhinged that Harrison Butker has done this. So McDowell writes this, and when I emailed him back, I'm like, do you realize in your piece, you basically wrote that he's more tolerant than you are? Because Sam McDowell writes, when I've talked to Harrison Butker about this, he's been very accepting and open and kind to me and understands that I believe things differently than he does. And he couldn't have been nicer in our exchanges. I'm like, yes, that sounds like Harrison Butker. He accepts you for who you are, but you can't accept him for who he is? That's the problem with the left. And when the left come and meet the best people on the right, they're like, dang, I want to hate this person, but they're so nice and they're forgiving and they're kind and they live by the teachings of Jesus Christ. And it drives them absolutely crazy that that person is the bigger person and the better person. And Harrison Butker will sit there and treat Sam McDowell with respect. And I can promise you this, Sam McDowell has written a hit piece on Harrison Butker. Harrison Butker will never respond to it, never say a word. He'll never have a terse moment with Sam McDowell, and he will treat him greatly this year. Sam McDowell covers the Chiefs on a daily basis, and Harrison Butker will treat him with respect and kindness. I promise you he will. And at some point, it's like a worm that, what would they say? Robert Kennedy had some sort of worm or something eating on his brain. Like a worm eating on your brain. At some point, Sam McDowell's just going to go crazy that Harrison Butker doesn't hate him. That he's got this attitude toward Butker, that he's a bad person because he said these things, what, about women or gays? That's what you're taking away from this? If Sam McDowell hasn't learned in his years on this planet that there are tens of millions of men and women in this country, probably the majority, I would say, the majority of men and women in this country will tell you the greatest thing they did in life was get married, have children, and in my case, raise them and send them out in the world. It's my proudest accomplishment. It isn't even close. And I don't know if Sam McDowell has kids. I don't know what his wife thinks. If they see their job is more important than their kids, what a travesty that is. Maybe he does. He's an NFL reporter. He's probably got a lot in his head that, hey, this is the pinnacle of a career. I'm covering the National Football League for a major newspaper. I'm awesome. His wife maybe is some sort of professional and really has some self-esteem with that. If they think that's better than raising kids, then they can live their life that way. They have the right to do that, but they're out of touch with most people. And most of the women that Harrison Butker was graduating at that ceremony will tell you in 20 years, their greatest accomplishment in life was getting married and having children. They will tell you that. They will tell you that. And the fact that the left is tone deaf on this and doesn't understand it and doesn't understand the message, Harrison Butker was never saying, don't go have a career, shut you down, women don't belong in the workplace. That was not what this was about. This was many of you are going to go on to have great careers, but you're going to look back and go, your greatest accomplishment was getting married and raising children. You're going to feel that someday. And he's basically saying, I play football. I kick the ball. I've had great success and made a lot of money. It's my wife and kids that are important to me. That's what he's saying. And my faith, my Catholic faith. And people on the left can't see this. Many people on the left can't see this. Sam McDowell is one of them. I tweeted back to Jeff Rosen, the editor at the Star, who posted the story and said, oh boy, what a mess here for Harrison Butker. And I tweeted back, yeah, what a mess. Harrison Butker has the number one selling jersey in America this week. Men's jerseys, and wait for it, women's jerseys. Ladies and gentlemen, after the speech last week, Harrison Butker has the number one selling women's jersey in the United States of America. Number one. Yeah, Sam McDowell, he really pooped his pants and has to sit in it, doesn't he? You folks in the left, in the media, you just don't know Americans. You don't know people. You have lived in a bubble. You have been to college. You were indoctrinated. You don't even know what they've done to you. You live in this little world in a newsroom where everybody's the same and you're all leftists and you all think your jobs are more important than your families. It is the saddest thing ever. It's so tragic. I feel bad. I want you to know us. Please come out and learn from us. How we live. You don't have to live our lifestyle. I don't have to change you. Just come know us. Understand us. Understand what it is that makes us tick. It would be so helpful if the media would just do that. They are completely uninterested in doing that. They love their bubble. They love their vacuum. And it shows every time one of these stories comes up. I mean, they're literally the least inclusive people ever. And all they talk about is diversity, equity, and inclusion. And they're the least inclusive people. If you want to start a Satan club at Olathe Northwest High School, the media will support you for your right to do that under the Constitution. If you want to worship the devil, it's okay with the Democrats. If you want to speak at a Catholic graduation and comment about the greatest thing you can do in life is be a mom, they're coming after you. They don't like your religion. They don't like the way you think. They think you're some white supremacist who belongs back in the 1950s. It is disgusting the way these people act. And I'm going to point out somebody who I've hammered on this podcast many times before. But I'm going to support her today because I was shocked to see Whoopi Goldberg on The View, who at her core initially, I think we would say, is a comedian, an actress, whatever. There is a riff running through comedians everywhere in America that cancel culture is over and they are pushing the limits. The Tom Brady roast was the least of it, although that was wild, man. The Tom Brady roast was wild. Like, we're worried about what Harrison Butker is saying and the NFL players and people on that stage at that roast were saying the things they were saying. And the NFL is worried about the commencement speech and commenting on it. Whoopi Goldberg said on The View, stop, stop, stop. This man has every right in the world to say what he wants. Leave him alone. She says, I don't have to agree with him. I don't have to believe what he says, but get off him. He has every right to say this. Now, I'm guessing somewhere in her past, Whoopi Goldberg had some religion that was really important to her. And she understands that a lot of these faiths or churches have differences, but we all have the right to live the way we live. And I commend Whoopi Goldberg for saying that. I mean, she clearly said, I don't agree with what he says. But he's saying, look, if you want to live your life this way, do it. If you want to live your life a different way, do it. Live and let live. Because at their core, this is the problem with liberals and with Democrats. At their core, they know the principles of the United States are fair. They understand the separation of church and state. They know that the core tenets of Christianity are good and right and just, that these things are all true. At their core, they know this. They don't want to show it. They don't like to show it because it's party above all else. It's winning elections for the things they want. It's that. That's their church. That's become their vocation. But somewhere inside Whoopi Goldberg, just like a lot of Democrats, there's a conservative in there. There's something in there that she knows the conservatives are right. That there is something really good about family staying together and going to church and raising your children the right way. That's been really fruitful for the United States of America. She knows that. And that came out. Of course, she put the caveat on it. Doesn't mean I agree with him. But get off him. He didn't do anything wrong. And she's right. All right, you want to talk a little more chaos? Let's go. I got a whole bunch. I'm running long here today. This isn't going well. I got a bunch of things I got to hit on. Xavier Worthy, the Chiefs' number one pick, had his car stolen. A couple of questions here. The car was stolen from the two-light downtown garage. That's the upscale apartments down there where Travis Kelce used to live and some others. A couple things. How is the two light garage not secure and you can just steal a car? You would think that would be one of the best places to not necessarily break in. That's not what this was. They just stole his car. They didn't break in. They saw a purse or something and stole something off the seat. That's not what they did. They took the car. Xavier Worthy's been a chief for a minute, and his car's already been stolen, and Quentin Lucas is Kansas City, Missouri. These are not rare stories, folks, and they're not random. There have been 52 murders already this year in Kansas City, Missouri. It's crazy what's going on in Kansas City, Missouri. But his car gets stolen. The second thing is, why is he living at Two Light? Just a simple question. You're just out of college. You got some money. You're downtown. The bars are open until 3 a.m. You're here on it's a work trip. You haven't found a home yet. I presume he'll get a home. Maybe I don't think he's going to live in those apartments all season long. What's going on here? Are we just asking for trouble with these young people? Do the Chiefs not get involved and say, listen, we got a house you can rent. We can rent this thing for 6 months until you find a house to live in and buy a house, whatever. Do they not work with these players? Look, Two Lights, fine. It's a fine choice if you're like a responsible young adult. I would think as a football team, you would look at every draft choice as not yet a responsible adult who's about to come into millions, and we might want to put them in places where they can't have bad things happen. Xavier Worthy did nothing wrong here, folks, and I'm not suggesting he's going to do anything wrong. I just wonder why the first thing they do is put him right next to the Power and Light District and house them there. That just doesn't sound right to me. And yet they do. Caitlin Clark played her second game of the season, this one at home for the Indiana Fever. Guess who the big loser was? Indiana lost by 36 points. She only had 2 points at half. She was 2 out of 8 for shooting, 1 out of 7 from three. She had 5 fouls and more turnovers in this game. She finished with 9 points is all. But guess who the big loser was? The big loser were the ticket brokers. The ticket brokers bought the entire upper deck because they were pretty cheap tickets. When they first came out, figured they'd resell them for a profit. Folks, 3 hours before game time last night, online ticket prices for the upper deck, $4. $4. Plenty of seats available for $4 to get into Caitlin Clark's first home game. Oh boy, guess what we're learning? Caitlin Clark was a college phenomenon. People like college basketball better than they like pro basketball. The NBA has been a loser of a business, and 2 games in, I'm not going to say it because I don't know enough about the NBA. All I know is it's been a loser of a business. It's lost money every year, and nobody goes or watches. It is a non-league. It is completely irrelevant and unimportant, and they thought she was going to save it. There are people saying, this ain't going to work. That she's not saving anything, that this league is toast, and Caitlin Clark's about to just kind of move off stage into obscurity until she's a better player. Because as of right now, she's not a very good player, at least not at that level. Deshaun Watson thinks he's a good player. This is the guy that yours truly said I would have taken Deshaun Watson over Patrick Mahomes. I would have done that on one simple premise. I'm not an expert on quarterbacks. And Deshaun Watson did a lot of winning in college, and Patrick Mahomes did none. Deshaun Watson won everything in college. Patrick Mahomes won nothing in college. Well, the Chiefs famously traded right in front and got Patrick Mahomes instead of Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson has been in trouble. He's had the scandals with the women. He's not great, and he's not reliable. And these are things that you would have known probably by interviewing him, getting to know him, whatever, through the combine. Chiefs did their due diligence. It's easy to see now why they didn't take Deshaun Watson and why they took Patrick Mahomes. That's easy to see. But remember, not everybody did that. Right? So Deshaun Watson, here's the kind of guy this guy was. Is. He's got new tattoos on his body, and he posted them on X, because why wouldn't you post your tattoos on X? Of course. It's a giant tattoo of his new girlfriend. I mean, horrible idea. There's 2 women on the back, on his back. And now he's added a Super Bowl ring that he hasn't won yet. The words legendary are on his back, and more glory. And I don't know if more glory means football glory or if that's some sort of glory to God. I don't know. It's a complicated set of tattoos on his back. The entire back is covered. Everything you have to know about Deshaun Watson as a quarterback, for me, is summarized with one sentence. He has a tattoo of a Super Bowl ring on his back that he hasn't won. That's it. That's all you got to know about the guy. He's never going to win a Super Bowl. Deshaun Watson's not winning a Super Bowl. Not going to happen. Wow, some of these people are just absolutely remarkable. Okay, I mentioned the Royals. They're back in the A's. I mentioned that. It was cool to see Hosmer, Ned, and Moose and those guys here. They're going to be out there all weekend long. The weather's fantastic. Gorgeous day today on Friday. The weekend's going to be even warmer. Put some shorts and a T-shirt on. Go to a ball game. The Royals are playing great baseball. It's going to be a really fun weekend. They ought to be able to win 2 out of 3 from the A's. That's all the baseball will do. As we switch to news, I want to let you know KKHI is brought to you by Roberts Robinson, online at robertsrobinson.com. Your Chevrolet and GMC headquarters in the Northland, Excelsior Springs, or anywhere you live. Folks have purchased cars from Roberts Robinson in Florida, and they've had them shipped and delivered to people in Florida. All around the country, you can get them anywhere. Doesn't matter where you listen. If you're looking for a Chevy or a GMC, call Tim at 816-826-1563 and let a great family-owned, locally-owned and operated, not a corporate dealership, in this wonderful community of Excelsior Springs, Missouri, let them be the dealer that provides your new Chevy or GMC for you. Even if you're ordering from the factory, looking for a brand new Silverado, want to trick that baby out, get everything on it, they'll order it up for you, have it built, and have it sent to you. RobertsRobinson.com, 816-826-1563. They're the home of the free lifetime warranty. Almost nobody does that. The Blue Mountain Hotel in Manhattan, Kansas. Great place to go and stay if you're going to play Colbert Hills this summer or go to the lake or you're spending a weekend out there with a family reunion or a get-together with relatives, or maybe you're doing the frat boy reunion type thing. I got a couple of guys who were in frats at K-State, and they go back every summer, and they tear up Manhattan, and they love to stay at the Blue Mountain Hotel. They don't tear up the Blue Mountain Hotel, though. Respect for the Blue Mountain Hotel. It is really a nice property. Or if you're doing business and you travel the state or the Midwest, stay a night in Manhattan at the Blue Mountain Hotel. Online at BlueMontHotel.com. They also have Goolsby's inside there. Restaurant, indoor entertainment center. It's a lot of fun. We love Goolsby's. Ideal Health KC is Dr. Kip Van Camp. He was on the podcast last week. If you've not heard the episode, go back and give it a listen. If you're suffering with back pain, if you've tried everything else, or maybe you just want to start with your back pain here, IdealHealthKC.com is the way to go. Dr. Van Camp was one of the first regenerative medicine doctors in America. He believes he was 13th to open a practice specifically for regenerative health, regenerative medicine, which makes him the first in our area. 913-745-5300. IdealHealthKC.com for your back pain. Go get the consultation with Dr. Kip. On to the news. Here we go. I mentioned all the crime and everything in Kansas City, Missouri, but Kansas City, Missouri, according to the census, since 2020, has gained 2,614 residents. All right. Okay. That's good. St. Louis has lost almost 20,000. Makes sense. Kansas City is the biggest city in Missouri with 510,000 residents. There's something else in here. Columbia had a big gain. Columbia, Missouri had like maybe 5,000 new residents. They're up to, they're getting big. Columbia's getting bigger. They're thriving in Columbia. A lot of these college towns are. I remember last year they said Manhattan, Kansas was the second fastest growing city in America. That's percentage-wise. That's not number of residents. That's percentage-wise. But there's a couple of little interesting things in here. The story that I saw didn't have Parkville, Blue Springs, Lee Summit, did not have some of the suburbs on the Missouri side. But they had a couple on the Kansas side. And I don't believe it. Unless this has to do with shocking death numbers. They're building apartments in our suburbs in this city so fast and stacking people on top of each other that there's no way the suburbs are getting smaller. That's not possible. Can you have that? Now, were there some COVID deaths? Yes, but not massive COVID deaths. Are people, this is since 2020 now, are people dying in a post-COVID world at a record rate? there is a lot of data that suggests we are, that people that took the shot are dying. Overland Park lost 149 residents since 2020. That sounds impossible. I don't know how many thousands and thousands and thousands of apartment dwellers now live in Overland Park that did not live there in 2019. Lenexa, where I live, has gained 102 people. Also impossible. Thousands of apartments have been built. Are we dying? I don't know. I know this. I live in a neighborhood where, I don't know how many houses are, 700? Several hundred houses are in this subdivision that we're in. Almost all of these houses have been built since 2019. People have moved in. And we know people who've, we've got neighbors who didn't move from Lenexa to Lenexa. They came from elsewhere. None of this sounds possible to me. But whatever, I'm skeptical of these numbers, and I wonder if it has to do with the death rate. And we're going to learn more out of that over the next 5 years. I think we're going to see some stunning numbers in America, or really around the world, on the death rate. And maybe even the average age of life coming down because of COVID shots, not necessarily COVID. I do believe that. Also in Kansas City, Missouri, they want $7 million for a makeover of the Swope Memorial Golf Course. Now, I'm all about golf courses. Swope Memorial is a historic gem. It is not much to play, but boy, it's an historic place. It is a beautiful setting. There's a couple of holes you get up on top of the fairway. You can see the skyline from the top. It is worth a $7 million makeover. It's probably worth more than that. It should not be bulldozed. It should never be closed. I'm not so sure your tax dollars ought to be paying for this. This seems like something else. This almost seems like a federal thing. Like there ought to be a historic site. This is an historic golf course. I will point out to you that the last time I played it, they still had gas golf carts, and they were bad ones that filled the air with smoke and smelled really bad. And they're noisy. They had noise pollution, air pollution, and a bad carbon footprint in Kansas City, Missouri, liberal Kansas City, Missouri at Swope Memorial. So if the $7 million is to get some electric carts, please, let's get some battery-operated carts at Swope. Get rid of those old clunkers that stink and they're noisy. Oof, awful. I'm rooting for Swope. I just think Kansas City, Missouri has bigger fish to fry if they've got an extra $7 million laying around than fixing up a golf course. We'll see. Oh, I want to let you know, David Leitner, Chris Cambers, a couple of my friends with the Jackson County Republican Party are hosting the first annual golf tournament. This will be at Drum Farm in Independence, August 23rd. We need presenting sponsors, champion sponsors, master sponsors, hole sponsors, breakfast, lunch, beverage. If you've got a restaurant, if you can cater, if you can help, if you're with a beverage company, if you want to donate to this, this is the Jackson County Republican Party. They say they've got some momentum that they think Cleaver might be in reach this time. We'll see. Jackson County can be a tough place. There are pockets of Jackson County that are very conservative. We know this. But they're raising money for the party, for the election, and it's August 23rd. If you come play, it's four players for $500. So the math's pretty easy on that. It's $125 to play, right? A single golfer, if it's just you, is $150. You get 18 holes, four drink tickets, breakfast, range balls, the whole deal. They're going to have prizes, all kinds of cool stuff. We're all in here. We want to help. I want you to play in this tournament. If you'd like to play, I want you to just personally email me. You can register right now at jacomo.gop. That's short for Jackson County, Missouri. JACOMO.GOP. I just say it as Jacomo. Jacomo.GOP. You can register for the golf tournament there. Or if you want more information, contact me. If you can be a sponsor, contact me. If you want to be a hole sponsor, if you're a realtor and you want your sign up there with great Republicans that are going to be playing, if you want to be part of this thing in any way, we can use all the help we can get. We need volunteers. We need sponsors. We need people to donate bottles of water, things of that nature. If you have a business or a retail outlet, if you're a grocer and can help out, I want to hear from anybody that can help with this. This is the Jackson County Republican Party. The golf tournament is August 23rd at 8 a.m. at Drum Farm in Independence. And if you can help or volunteer or donate or anything, contact me, Kevin@kkasissues.com. Kevin@kkasissues.com. If you'd like to play, you can also remember that email and email me, or just go to the website, Giacomo.gop. That's Giacomo.gop. Get it going, man. And we'll see you August 23rd at Drum Farm for the first annual. They're calling it the Liberty Classic. The Liberty Classic Jackson County Republican Party Golf Tournament. Love those guys. They work really, really hard. So go get them. Michael Cohen was on the stand on Thursday and had a My Cousin Vinny moment. So what Trump's lawyer did was said, okay, you testified under oath that you had this phone call about Trump and you did blah, 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 and you were talking about Trump, whatever. Yep, that's true. That was me. I had this call. It doesn't matter what the call was about. It was about Trump. Then they show a text thread that when this occurred, there was some 14-year-old like call pranking Michael Cohen. This is years ago. They got his number and kept calling and calling and calling. And there's a text thread that this thing's happening with this person that they called about, you know. Turns out the phone call was about this 14-year-old bothering him, and it had nothing to do with Trump or knowing that Trump had paid Stormy Daniels or the money was to Stormy Daniels. They literally boxed him in. These are your words. This is what you said. You're under oath. This is yeah. And then they said, okay, well, what about this 14-year-old? And then he said something effective. Okay, that's kind of coming back to me now that that's what that was about, that it was some prank caller that was really annoying Michael Cohen in this long text thread, and all these phone calls were made about a 14-year-old kid bothering him. He got caught lying under oath again. Michael Cohen got caught in a lie on the stand trying to bring down Trump. This guy's the worst witness in the history of witnesses. I mean, everybody that's sitting in there, including Anderson Cooper and people on the far left, are like, this trial's over. Trump's exonerated. Nothing happened here. There's nothing to see. They have not said what the crime is, and they certainly haven't proven guilt for something that they don't know what the crime is. And now the star witness, Michael Cohen, was admitted he lied. So the lawyer said to him, so you're lying. You've admitted again. You've lied now again in court. And Cohen's response is just like mumbling, like, no, I'm not admitting that. And the jury's sitting there going, son of a bitch, he lied again. So unless it's completely political, and there's no reason to believe that all 12 jurors that were chosen just walked in and said, I'm going to vote guilty on Trump. There's no reason to believe that some of these people won't take this seriously and say, look, it only takes one. It takes one person to just say, you can't do this to the man. It would be fun. It'd be fun to be on the jury that got Trump, but it's not right. Like, this was a sham. So apparently everybody, even on the left, they're like, this thing fell apart. This is a disaster of a case, which is pretty darn funny. Our final of the day is brought to you by the Finch Knife Company, online at finchknifeco.com. with 6 new designs coming out still this year, all at finchknifeco.com. Keep life from getting dull. And don't forget, for your business, for your clients, for your employees, for your customers, for the swag, you can get these knives laser engraved on the blade, your company's logo or your family's name or happy anniversary or a wedding date for a kid that's getting married or a groomsman party or something like that. Great groomsman gifts, by the way. If somebody's getting married, you know, if you're the groom and you got all your buddies, it's the perfect gift for them. It's just an awesome gift. FinchKnifeCo.com or visit Shields in Overland Park. Stroud's Pan-Fried Chicken and Stroud's Catering, a taste of tradition in every bite. Oak Ridge Manor in the Northland, 69 Highway and 135th in Overland Park, online at StroudsCatering.com. Dump the pizza and sandwich trays. Next time you're catering at your office, get some Stroud's Pan-Fried Chicken. If you want to do a big family reunion or event at a park somewhere this year, you know, you want to go to Loose Park or Shawnee Mission Park or something and have your family reunion this summer, they'll come and they'll actually pan-fry the chicken on site for you at your event. Maybe we'll get them to come to the golf tournament and cook up some pan-fried chicken. How cool would that be? Oh, man, that'd be awesome to get them out to the Jackson County Republican Golf Tournament. That'd be so cool. StroudsCatering.com. Or visit Stroud's today. And my buddy Tim Cross and his family at Cross Kitchens, and it is a family, including all of his foremen and craftsmen that work for him. They've been together for years. It is a family. It's a family business that wants to work with your family, remodeling a couple of kitchen countertops or an entire basement. Anything you're wanting to do, Cross Kitchens can do it. They're Kansas City's remodeler, online at crosskitchenskc.com. Our final today is Las Vegas. I like Las Vegas. I'm not some big Vegas guy. In fact, It's just, until I went to March Madness this year, it had been years since I was there. And it's gotten expensive and outrageous, and I would rather not stay at those expensive places. I'd rather stay someplace calmer and then go visit the expensive place or see a show or do whatever. I like the entertainment. I like the stimulation. I'm fascinated by the Strip, the culture, the people watching. But I just don't feel comfortable. You're riskier when you're younger. You're more risk-averse when you're older. I don't like sitting down at those fancy tables where it's like $50 minimum bet at a blackjack table or something. It's like, okay, really? And you're there 7 minutes and you've lost several hundred dollars. And you go, why am I doing this? That's no fun. That's no fun. So I'm a little more old school Vegas than new school, but it is in its own unique way, the coolest place in America. Like the Strip is its own unique beast. The things that they have there, the rest, I wouldn't mind spending money at a steakhouse, like something, okay, this is a steakhouse, the presentation, that you know, the fire breathing, everything is entertainment. And I love being entertained. And I respect anybody that entertains, including a bartender who can toss the glasses in the air or a street juggler. I don't really care. Entertainment is my thing. I feel in my own way every day I get up and somehow in the entertainment business. Everything's different. I'm not a singer. I'm not an actor. I'm not a comedian. I'm not those things. But this is, in a way, it's entertainment. And so I always overtip people that entertain. A good waiter, I overtip. I'm terrible. I appreciate a great bartender. A bartender that goes out of their way and they're happy and they're making a great night. I'm telling you, at that place we stayed at Red Rocks last week, I overtipped the bartender there something incredible. It was bad. Jessica gets on me. I'm like, this dude, he was here before the show. He's here after the show. He runs the place. Says he's staying until 2 a.m. and closing it. I'm like, you're kidding me. Like it was like he owned the place. He didn't. It was a chain. It was a Wyndham hotel. But he runs it. He's so proud of it. And it was so cool. I'm like, this man deserves it. He was engaging. It was awesome. So I love Vegas from the entertainment aspect. And one of the places that I first visited way back in the day was the Mirage. It was the first mega resort in Las Vegas. Had the volcano out front. Vegas Vacation was filmed there. It was like, oh my God, I got to see the Mirage. It was the first of what Vegas is now. It is now the first of what Vegas is now to be basically torn down. The volcano's going away. I think the towers that are there are staying. MGM has sold the property to Hard Rock for over $1 billion or something. They are closing in July, the Mirage. It will open in 2027 as a Hard Rock resort. And out front, apparently where the volcano was, is going to be a 700-foot tower of rooms shaped like a guitar. They've got one of those in Florida. It's in Fort Lauderdale. If you want to see what it looks like, just go to Hard Rock. And you can see it online. It's incredible. They build these mega towers. This thing's going to be over 700 feet tall. It's a guitar. Their hotel will be shaped like a guitar. I think they're keeping the other rooms too. I'm not sure. I don't think they're blowing up and bulldozing the whole thing. So that will open in 2027 as a Hard Rock. They've laid everybody off. They're giving everyone that works there. This is incredible. Hard Rock's paying this. It's going to cost $80 million. They're paying severance to everyone. And told them they will hire every single one of them back in 2027 if they like to come back to work there. No questions asked. You're coming back. They're giving everyone $2,000 for every year they've worked there. That's pretty good. It's pretty good. So if you've been there 30 years, you're getting a $60,000 check. That's pretty cool. So way to go, Hard Rock. They're spending $80 million in severance and packages to the employees to pay them out. And gently send them on their way. The Mirage is becoming the Hard Rock, and I can promise you, God willing, I live that long, I'm going to go. I love Hard Rocks. I love Hard Rock resorts. They play the best music. There's entertainment everywhere. I love it. It's my vibe. I love a good sports book, and I like sports. When I go on vacation, sometimes I get away from sports a little bit. I love the music, man. I love music. I love me some music. I love me a Hard Rock. Good stuff. There it is for the week. We appreciate you listening to KK Has Issues, man. You guys are the best. Please hit the like, follow, or subscribe button and tell a friend this weekend that you think Kevin Kietzman has issues.
Kevin Kietzman Has Issues has been presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet GMC and is produced by Crooked Tail Media. Please hit the like or follow button wherever you listen or give us a review. For premium content, podcasts, and weekly newsletter, join as a patron at kkhasissues.com for as little as $5 a month. Support all our sponsors and other conservative businesses at thekklist.com.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media, Incorporated.